The Houthi rebels in Yemen and their ongoing harassment of Israeli ships and Israeli-bound cargo in the Red Sea is a much bigger deal than you might have imagined. Now, understand that, of course, the Western press is lying to you about this situation. They're claiming it's a Red Sea blockade, but it isn't. Russian ships are sailing through just fine. Chinese ships sailing through just fine. The ships that are being harassed with drones and rockets are ships that are bound for Israel, ships that are running the Israeli flag, or ships that have cargo to or from Israel. So this is really a selective blockade of Israel by the Houthis in Yemen as a form of protest against Israel's ongoing continued ethnic cleansing genocide campaign against the Palestinian people, as we are seeing carried out in Gaza. But what this campaign is revealing is absolutely astonishing. It's revealing the weakness of the U.S. military, the Navy in particular, and the inability of the Navy to protect global sea lanes that are necessary for globalization to function. What we're really learning about the U.S. Navy, as demonstrated in this situation, is that the Navy is not as effective as many people have been led to believe. The Navy has a very limited supply of ammunition, for one thing. They don't even have resupply ships that sail with the carrier groups any longer. I mean, yeah, they can do some amount of damage on land with cruise missiles, and they can launch, bombers and fighters that can also do a certain amount of damage, but after that, the Navy's got to go somewhere and resupply. And where is that? Well, I mean, what are they going to do? Go dock in Israel? Well, Israel has used most of its munitions bombing the crap out of Gaza. And also, Israel sent a lot of its munitions, well, artillery in particular, to Ukraine. But it makes you wonder what Israel even has remaining in terms of military stockpiles. I don't know if cruise missiles or, naval gun rounds or anything like that are stockpiled in Israel. I'm not certain what's there, but I doubt it's much, which means the U.S. Navy is going to have to go probably, back to North America in order to resupply, to rearm, unless you think there are massive stockpiles, somewhere near the Mediterranean Sea, somewhere. What are they going to dock somewhere? In Britain, does Britain have anything? No, they don't. Britain is, that empire failed long ago. The British Navy hasn't ruled the high seas for almost 100 years, at this point. So the question is, how effective can the U.S. Navy be in a sustained campaign? And the answer is, well, it can't be effective at all in a sustained campaign. They can fire one volley of missiles and bombing campaigns, and you're not going to see the United States field a land-based military to try to conquer Yemen. We've already seen with Ukraine that the U.S. doesn't have what it takes to win in a land war. Russia defeated the United States in the land war in Ukraine. Does the U.S. think it's going to fight, all of maybe Hezbollah and Yemen? And who else are you going to fight? You're going to fight Iraq and Iran and all these countries in a land-based war? No, you're not. It turns out that the Navy is there as theater for the most part. It's a show of the potential of force, but not really backed by much force. Other than nuclear weapons. Granted, the Navy has nuclear weapons, but if you start using nukes, then Russia's going to nuke your Navy. Russia has nuclear Kinzhal missiles that can be fired and can take out U.S. aircraft carriers. So I don't think the U.S. is going to use nuclear weapons against Yemen or anybody else in the region or even Iran, although I know Senator Lindsey Graham would love to see that happen, but I don't think that's going to happen at all. Because the minute the U.S. Navy starts launching nuclear weapons, pretty much the entire Navy gets wiped out, or at least all of it that's there in the Mediterranean Sea and the Middle Eastern areas, the Persian Gulf, the peninsula, the Red Sea, all of it. And there's an economic factor here that's really critical to understand. While the U.S. is spending billions of dollars, well, really hundreds of billions of dollars a year, funding the Navy, the Yemeni Houthis can spend a few thousand dollars, or maybe tens of thousands, or maybe a few hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's about it, on drones and rockets to nullify the entire U.S. Navy. You know, in terms of protecting sea lanes and globalization and international shipping and all that, think about it. Even if the Houthis spent, let's say, $1 million, which I doubt they have, that would be 1/1,000th of $1 billion. And the U.S. Navy is funded on hundreds of billions of dollars. So talk about asymmetrical warfare here. For every penny that the Houthis spend harassing the Israeli ships or Israeli cargo, the U.S. Navy has to spend, you know, hundreds of dollars or something. I mean, many orders of magnitude difference between the expenditures. And that means the U.S. has to print more money. And the more money the U.S. prints, or the more currency it prints, the more quickly all the other nations of the world want to join BRICS and drop the dollar, which is exactly what's happening. And here we are just a few days away from, Saudi Arabia joining BRICS, by the way, and other nations, which is all about ultimately de-dollarization, but establishing global trade routes that are probably going to end up being defended by Russia and China. China on the high seas will be replacing the United States on the high seas. Now, speaking of economics, the economic implications of all this on Israel are also enormous. Not only is Israel suffering economic devastation because of recruiting its workers into the military, 300,000, 400,000 reservists have been called up in the IDF, which means they're not in their offices and manufacturing jobs. They're not working. They're mostly sitting around waiting to get shot at by Hamas, I suppose. But on top of that now, international trade with Israel is extremely disrupted. And the more that the Houthis attack Israeli cargo on the Red Sea, well, the more international shipping companies don't want to carry cargo to or from Israel. So all these international shipping companies are right now thinking to themselves, well, gee, if we want our ships to be able to transport cargo in a cost-effective manner, we have to not carry cargo destined for Israel. And so this is a kind of blockade just against Israeli imports and exports, which is going to make life a lot more difficult in Israel, which is probably a well-justified policy given all the war crimes that Israel is carrying out against the Palestinians. And imagine as more and more countries join this selective blockade against Israel as a protest against Israel's blatant crimes against humanity, just blatantly illegal war crimes is what Israel is carrying out. Malaysia has already joined the blockade. It's widely anticipated that Indonesia is going to as well. And there are questions about, you know, whether, well, Syria and Azerbaijan and other countries are going to allow Israel to continue to push energy across their countries and pipelines that supply Israel with the energy that it needs to run its economy. Well, if those pipelines get cut off, then what does Israel do for energy? And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that kind of response is coming. Wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, this is what happens when you have Zionist lunatic war criminals running the nation of Israel. I'm talking about Netanyahu and his war cabinet and all the Zionist lunatics there who are demonstrating just how evil they are and how just completely insane and crazed they are and how much they think that America can protect them. And it's all a lie. America can't protect you. just a bunch of rebels in Yemen are already proving that, by the way. And imagine what's going to happen when Israel loses its domestic energy supply and Israel loses its economy and Israel continues to lose more and more, you know, fighters and IDF personnel in Gaza. And then on top of that, what happens when Lebanon attacks? Well, not Lebanon in particular, but Hezbollah. When Hezbollah attacks Israel and just obliterates Israel's cities, and the United States Navy has already used all its ammo trying to stop the Houthi rebels, the Navy's just a bunch of sitting ducks out there. And then Hezbollah starts firing anti-ship missiles and taking out U.S. ships. They start sinking in the Mediterranean and in other areas around there. Then that's just going to encourage, you know, hundreds of millions of Arabs in surrounding nations to say, hey, this is our chance to overrun Israel, and we're going to take it over. And that's probably where this is headed, although it will take a few years to develop that way. And no, God isn't going to save Israel. Some of you thinking, well, but it says in the Bible that God comes along and saves Israel because they're the chosen ones. You know, the Bible isn't even writing about Israel in 2023. That's Israel long ago. All that stuff already happened. The Israel of 2023 is the satanic Israel run by a bunch of Luciferians that are anti-human, anti-God. They're all pro-LGBT, all pro-abortion. I mean, give me a break. If you think God's going to protect the Israel of 2023, the ultra-sinning Israel that destroys innocent lives and women and children and hospital patients, you think God's going to protect that Israel? You're misreading the Bible. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't know how, but God's going to work miracles and kill all those Arabs. Yeah, that's, God will have no part in the mass slaughter of innocent people. So get your head on straight about this, about what's really happening and what's coming. Israel's going to be obliterated in the years ahead, most likely. And Netanyahu just put the country on that path, and the United States Navy is going to be exposed as a paper tiger. The U.S. empire is going to collapse. The U.S. dollar is going to collapse. We're living in the last days of the U.S. empire right now. The whole world is turning against the United States and Israel. Understand? The whole world. They're dropping the dollar. They're dropping trade. The world is not afraid of the U.S. military as it once was three decades ago. You know, this is not 1991 here, folks. This isn't Operation Desert Storm. This is Operation Desperate Empire. And it's going to fail. I mean, France and Italy and I forgot which other country already pulled out of this, what's it called, this Operation like Abundant Garden or something, whatever they called it, about trying to protect the cargo in the Red Sea. They might as well call it Operation Market Garden, I guess, as a throwback to World War II. But it's going to fail. It's going to completely fail. And the dynamics of world trade have forever changed from this moment forward. And the bottom line is, if you don't get along with the other nations around the world, you know, if you don't treat civilian populations with some level of human decency, then the other world leaders are going to harass your ships and they're going to refuse to trade with you. And you're going to find yourself utterly isolated and unable to function across the seas. And then there goes your economy. That's where things are headed very rapidly. So pay attention to this, folks. This is happening right now. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Take care. All right, back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have our certified organic lab-tested milk powder and also our coconut milk products. Again, both back in stock. I've got some on my desk. Can you show that? There we go. We've got milk powder in number 10 cans, which are really great for long-term storage. Also completely rodent-proof there. We also have milk, that is cow's milk, in the pouches. And then we have coconut milk powder as well for those of you who want that option. I use both of these. These are great long-term storable items, great barter items. They're both available at healthrangerstore.com, along with hundreds of other products that we have there. Check this out. We also have our new organic super anthocyanins powder, which is great. I mean, this is a blend of six organic berry and vegetable powders. It's high in anthocyanins, which are the purple pigment molecules that have extraordinary properties for supporting your health. Also, of course, lab tested for glyphosate and heavy metals and more. And then if you go through the website, you'll see all these other products that we have. Freeze-dried beet juice powder, organic nascent atomic iodine that's in organic glycerin, by the way. It makes it more tasty for people. Here's our organic vanilla bean powder, like the real vanilla bean powder, not make-believe fantasy artificial vanilla flavors. And then we have this new Hydrate Elementals, which is organic coconut water with aquamin, which is a very popular mineral supplement. And this has great benefits. You can read about that and much more, collagen, peptides, and so on. All of this at healthrangerstore.com, where we do more in-house lab testing of our own products than any company in the world, any retailer, you know, any e-commerce company on the planet. We do more rigorous testing with our in-house lab. And that way we can bring you clean foods and supplements, things that we know to be clean, and almost everything certified organic as well. So check it all out, and thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take care.